Acts 24. I'm just going to tell you about Acts 24. We're not going to look at anything until we hit 26. But anyway, if you recall, Paul was the missionary. He was not an apostle in the sense that he walked with Jesus in the physical form. But after Jesus had ascended, Paul was arresting Christians, putting them in jail for being Christians, right? And for preaching and sharing the gospel message. Well, see, Paul was a Pharisee. He was from the old tradition, you know. He went to the old church. And so he had that Jewish faith, Old Testament, plus whatever rules they wanted to tack onto it. How many of you ever went to the church? They had more of their own rules than Jesus did, right? And so they had all these rules. And then came Jesus and he said, I'm going to wash all your sins away if you trust in me and ask forgiveness. And I'll just wash all your sins away. And they say, so I don't have to answer for anything. He says, all your sins be washed away. You mean I don't have a record? All your sins washed away. How many of you are excited about having all your sins washed away? Me too. See, I know what I've done. I'm not going to tell you, but I know what I've done. And when I ask God's forgiveness, the blood of Jesus is enough that it washed all of those sins away. It doesn't matter if you think my sin is worse than your sin, because usually that's how we are. Other people's sin is worse than our sin is. But all my sin got washed away when I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And if you have not done that, right now you could. You say, God, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. You know, God will wash all your sins away, and He'll write your name in the book of life, and He'll give you a home in heaven. And that's God's gift to us. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is what? The gift of God. It's a gift. They say, but you got to do something for it. That wouldn't be a gift, would it? But when our sins are washed away. Now, I don't serve God to try to get my sins washed away because that's already taken care of. But I serve God. I live for Jesus because I'm so grateful for what He's done in washing all my sins away. Now, as a Christian, I will stand before God and give an account for what I have done with the life and the opportunity God has given me. Not for sin, but for stewardship. So as a believer in Jesus Christ, born again, I will stand before God as a steward, not as a sinner. Isn't that great? So Paul arrested Christians for breaking, you know, the religious code. And he stood by while Stephen was stoned to death. But then he was born again. He was converted. Jesus came to him on the way to Damascus and saved Paul, called him out of sin. And so Paul got saved. Well, once Paul got saved, do you think he was still persecuting churches? No. He wanted to join the church. Do you think the church was suspicious? Of course they were. They said, sure, you're a Christian. Yeah, we believe you. But he was. He was genuinely converted. And so he became part of the church, and instead of arresting people for preaching, he was preaching. And then he traveled around all over and spread the gospel and started churches. Well, there was still a cluster of people in Jerusalem who hated Paul. Why did they hate Paul? Well, because they felt that he had betrayed them when he stepped into the New Testament while they were still living under the Old Testament. They thought that, oh, he's too progressive, you know. He's a modern evangelist, and we don't believe in that, right? You've ever heard of that kind of stuff? So they were against Paul, and so they stayed at Jerusalem, and then Paul says, you know what I want to do? I want to go back to Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit sent a prophet to Paul and said, don't go back. God himself sent the message, don't go back. The church said to Paul, don't go back. What did Paul do? He ignored everybody and went anyway. Now, Agabus is the prophet that God sent, and Agabus took a girdle, if you're familiar, and he tied himself up, you know, constricted him. He said, the man whose this is going to be bound in Jerusalem. And the church said, Paul, you can't go. They're going to arrest you. They're going to put you away. You won't be able to do your work anymore. He said, look, I'm going. In fact, he said, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? I'm ready to go and preach. I'm going. And so he got to Jerusalem. And what did he do? He preached. And what did they do? They attacked him. They mobbed him. They would have torn him to pieces. But the captain stepped in and took Paul away, and they were getting, you know, binding him up to put him in prison for causing a ruckus. And he said, you know, I'm a Roman, right? A Roman citizen. And they said, oh, well, we better start dealing with you differently then, because that Roman citizenship gave you privileges that being a Jew, common citizen didn't carry. So Paul was put in jail, just like everybody warned him was going to happen. How many of you ever ignored people's warnings and then found out they were right? Man, it's almost like we should have listened, huh? And so Paul is arrested, and more than 40 men in Jerusalem took an oath together. They said, we're not going to eat or drink till that man's dead. They took an oath that they would kill him. But the rumor got back to the captain, and the captain called for almost 500 soldiers. Can you imagine? To protect one man. 500 soldiers. And they marched him from Jerusalem to Caesarea. He gets to Caesarea. They put him in a little prison jail there. In fact, if you go to Caesarea today, they have, you know, uncovered them, excavated them, and you can see those tiny cells. I don't know which one Paul was in, but one of those in Caesarea. And so Paul is in Caesarea, and he's there in jail. Now in chapter 24, we find that Governor Felix gave Paul the opportunity to face his accusers. And what was he accused of? Being a troublemaker. They say he's pestilent. How many of us could be convicted of being a troublemaker? Probably a bunch. And so he's accused of being a troublemaker. And in chapter 24, verse 14, Paul says this, "This I confess to thee, after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." He said, I'm not dismissing the Old Testament. "And I have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust." You know, there's this idea that if you believe in God and you accept Jesus, you go to heaven. But if you don't believe, you just cease to exist. Nothing's farther from the truth. There is a resurrection of the just and the unjust. There is eternal life for those who believe in God and accept Jesus, and for those who reject God and end up in the lake of fire for eternity. Eternity! A resurrection of the just and the unjust. Herein, verse 16, do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. He said, look, I didn't come to Jerusalem to offend anybody. I didn't come to hurt anybody's feelings. I want people to know the truth. As Christians, we have got to understand our mission is not to criticize those who are lost for being lost. For those who are acting unchurched because they are unchurched. We cannot expect the world to act like Christians. We can't expect Christians to act like Christians, though. And that's asking a lot. You see, God's people ought to be different. People ought to be able to see a difference in us. They ought to be able to see that love. They ought to be able to see that joy. They ought to be able to see that peace if they spend any time with us at all. They ought to be able to see Jesus in us. Well, Paul was trying to help them. Paul was trying to show them the way of salvation. They didn't want it. They attacked him. He ends up in prison. Not only does he end up in prison, they go all the way to Caesarea to accuse him. They're so angry. They want him executed so much, they don't mind traveling. And they travel all the way over there, and he's there in jail. Well, as he talks to Felix, the governor hears him. And it says in verse 24 of chapter 24, after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So this is not a trial, you understand. This is just a conversation. And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. The Bible says Felix trembled. He trembled. Why? Because he knew he didn't know Jesus. He knew that what Paul was saying had a ring of truth to it. That there is a God in heaven. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that if Felix would put his faith in God, that God would love him and accept him. But if Felix rejected God's son, God also would reject him. Felix trembled. And he said to Paul, go thy way for this time. And when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Let me ask you a question. Do you know of a certainty that if you die today, you will go to heaven? Do you know that? You say, well, I hope so. No, hope is not going to work. Well, I think so. That's not going to work. You either are or you're not. We're not getting up there and weighing your good deeds and your bad deeds. That's not how this works. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. So you're either hellbound or you're heavenbound. There's no in between. You're not going somewhere in the middle to purge your sins. You're either going to heaven or hell when you die. Now look, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to get you to think that you're dying today. I hope you don't. But I just want you to know that whenever it happens, you've already made arrangements. How many of you ever planned a trip? You say, I'm going to go to St. Augustine. You call ahead and you say, or you get on your laptop or your phone and you say, I'm going to order a room. And so you make arrangements and you go to your room. How many of you ever made reservations at a hotel and got there and they had already given your room to somebody else? Anybody? Okay. You know, the good news is when you get to heaven, that's not going to happen. You make your reservation now, and no matter how long it is between now and when you get there, your room's reserved. Might as well go ahead and order a suite. Felix trembled because he knew he needed Jesus. He trembled because he knew that there was some truth to what Paul was saying. He could see the enthusiasm in Paul, and he could feel the hunger in himself. His wife was also a Jew. And so he knew the traditions. He knew about that stuff. But it says, when it's convenient. Let me ask you a question. When is it going to be a better time? What's a better time than right now? Why would you wait? Well, guess what? Felix continued to meet with Paul on and off. Have lunch with him, talk about Jesus, talk about faith. And by the way, he hoped that sometime Paul might bribe him to get out of prison. But you know, as far as we know, Felix never made a confession of faith in Jesus Christ. 2 years of opportunity, meeting with that pastor, that missionary, one-on-one, hearing the gospel, having the opportunity, but as far as we know, never making a statement of faith. And then he gets replaced. We got a new governor. The new governor's name is Festus. And Festus becomes the governor. And he says, and the Jews come to Governor Festus. They say, we got to do something with this prisoner in here. We want him executed. And Festus goes, whoa, what's going on? Tell me the story. Tell me what's going on. So they tell Festus the story. Well, he says, we can't just do this without having him answer for himself. So he listens to Paul. Paul, what happened? Paul said, look, this is a difference of opinion over religion. And Festus says, oh, that's superstition. Y'all are arguing about stuff that doesn't matter. And he says, well, I've appealed to Caesar. And he said, well, you want to go to Caesar? Fine. But here's the problem is Festus sits down to write the letter of why this prisoner is being sent to Rome. He says, what am I supposed to put in here? He's a troublemaker? He's trying to overthrow the government? I mean, what am I supposed to put in here? Well, the king comes to town, King Agrippa. King Agrippa and his wife come to town, and Festus says, I'm so glad you're here. Says, I got this guy in prison. He's appealed to Rome. I got to send him to Rome to see Caesar. And I'm not real sure what to write in the warrant. Like, why am I sending this guy all the way to Rome? So King Agrippa says, I want to hear what he has to say. Bring him in here. Let's listen to what he's got to say. So they have a meeting, and it's King Agrippa, and it's Festus, but they call in all the leaders of the town, right? All of the men who are the leaders of that city. And they say, Paul, tell us your story. In Acts 26 and verse 4, Paul says this, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand and I'm judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. He says, here's the thing, guys. This is what God was talking about from the beginning. Hey, let me let you in on something. When Adam and Eve sinned, they went and they hid themselves and they put some leaves on. Remember that? They covered themselves with some leaves. Y'all remember that? This is yes. Okay. All right. And then God says, why are y'all hiding? They said, well, we're naked. And he says, who told you were naked? And they said, oh, Adam said what? He said, it's that woman. And he says, Eve, who told you? He said, that it was that snake. And so, boom, there we go. So what happened? God clothed them to cover their nakedness with what? Skin. How do you get skin? He had to take the life of an animal to get skins or leather, if you will, to cover their nakedness. So the blood was shed because of their sin to give them a covering for their shame and their guilt. Everybody follow so far? In the Old Testament, of course, they instituted by Abraham, they instituted the sacrifices. We see it with Moses and the Levites. We see the sacrifices. The blood was shed to cover the sin. And because it was covering the sin, those Old Testament saints went into Abraham's bosom, the place called paradise. And then something happened. In the fullness of time, Jesus came. And Jesus hung on that cross and his blood was shed. No longer to cover, but to cleanse. Isn't that wonderful? So our sins are washed away. I'm not hiding my sins in my pocket anymore. Right? My sin's gone. And that's what Paul was trying to express is, look, I didn't change the message. This is the message completed. This is the end of the message. You read half the book and that's the whole story? No. He said there's a whole nother part. And it's been talked about since Adam and Eve and up to Moses, Abraham, how far you want to go. He said this has been the plan all along, that God would send the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, to become the high priest. Aaron was a picture of Jesus. Melchizedek, a picture of Jesus. All the Old Testament was pointing at Jesus. Jesus is all through the Old Testament. So he says, y'all are fussing at me because y'all only want to believe half the story. Well, he goes on and he talks about his own conversion, and we already talked about that, so we'll skip over it. But look at what he says in verse number 19. O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first to them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other thing than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Again, that's what they said was going to happen. That Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art mad. Thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Do you notice what's happened here? Can you tell me what that is? What's that? Conviction. Look at this. Have you ever been listening real intently to what the preacher was saying? And then somebody makes a disturbance in the church and all of a sudden your train of thought moves. That's what happened. Paul's up there talking. He's giving his testimony and Agrippa is gripped. And those leaders are hanging on every word. What happened next? What happened next? And Paul is sharing his testimony and they're just being drawn into it. And you could see that they're like almost going to confess Jesus as Savior. And Festus says, Paul, you're crazy. Boom. Breaks the concentration. Guys, that's why it's so important in church that we're not a distraction to other people. Because somebody might be hanging right on the edge, getting ready to give their lives to Christ, and then we do something silly and disrupts the whole thing. That's what Festus did. So close. Verse number 26. Oh, verse number 25. And Paul said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. The king knoweth of these things before whom also I speak freely. I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe there are people among us, maybe in this room, but particularly outside of this room in this area, who have never heard the gospel? Do you think they have some idea of God and some idea of Jesus and some idea of church, but they don't know the simplicity of the gospel? How many of us say that's probably true? Well, let me tell you something. That's our job. And if that's true, we're doing a lousy job. By the way, I believe that's true. We have got to get the gospel message out there. I don't remember where I was the other day. Somebody says, man, I love hearing that commercial on the radio. Well, what is the church commercial on the radio? It's the plan of salvation. That's all it is. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I hear y'all's voice when I'm saying that. Right, the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the message. But there are people out there that don't understand that's all it takes. You don't have to get baptized too. You don't have to give money to the church too. You don't even have to go to church too. You should, but you don't have to be saved. Salvation first. The blood of Jesus washing our sins away. The simplicity of the gospel. Paul says, King, I don't think this was done in the corner. I think you know. I think you get it. Do you believe? Look at what he says in verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. I know you believe. And Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I wonder how many people that we know who by watching our lives, by seeing the way we live, by experiencing the hope and the love and the forgiveness and the joy and the peace that we have. They see us. I wonder how many of them are almost persuaded. What did Paul say? Paul said, I would that thou wert not just almost, but altogether such as I am. I wish you loved Jesus like I love Jesus. I wish you loved this church like I love this church. I wish you, I could say this about some of you, I wish you loved you like I love you. I wish you saw the good in you that I see. I wish you saw the potential and the opportunity that I see. But more than that, I wish that you could see what God sees. You see, Paul was willing to give it all for the gospel, not just for the gospel. You see, Paul could have preached the gospel. He could have gone and preached the gospel, continue to preach the gospel all around the world. But he said, I love my people back home. I love my people. That's where ministry begins. With your people. With your group. With your circle. Now, once they are reached, of course, we reach beyond that. But Paul had gone all across the area. But he started wanting to go home. Because, you see, there were some co-workers he used to work with that he wanted to go to heaven. There were probably some people there he went to school with. He wanted them to go to heaven. Now, he knew they didn't believe the gospel. But he said, I got to give it one more try. I got to give it a chance. Well, that didn't work out. God used that decision to get Paul to reach people he never otherwise would have reached. Where were you this week around people that you may never see again, that you may never otherwise have an opportunity to reach out to? Now, how about this coming week? There'll be people. You'll have an opportunity to talk to them. It'll be natural. It'll be an opportunity that you may never again have an opportunity to share the gospel. It's our job. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul said, I wish you were not just almost, but altogether convinced of a saving power of Jesus Christ and his blood, the sufficiency of Jesus. Wish you were. I hope you are this morning. Would you stand? I want you to have an opportunity if you'd like to come down, kneel at the altar and pray. Maybe you want me to pray with you. I'll be glad to. Maybe you say, Pastor, I want to get saved. I want to give my life to Jesus. I just don't know how. Well, you can come down here and talk to me, but I'll walk you through it one more time before we go. From your heart to God's heart, would you say, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for me. That he rose the third day to give me the victory. God, forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I surrender my life to you. I put my trust in you in Jesus' name. Amen. If that's your prayer this morning, we'd encourage you to follow up with baptism. But that is the most important step, to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. The altar's open. Would you come this morning? This is your opportunity. Anything before we're dismissed? Get my little bag here. All right. Let's go to the Lord for dismissal prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Ronnie to dismiss us this morning.